Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 7, Lord Shiva Saves the Universe. And we're starting with text number 9, which doesn't have any purport, so I'll just read the translation. When the demigods and demons saw that Mandara Mountain had been lifted, they were enlivened and encouraged to begin churning again. The mountain rested on the back of the great tortoise, which extended for 800,000 miles like a large island. Quite big, 800,000 miles. So that's around 1,200,000 yojanas, which is 1,200,000 kilometers. And the earth around is around 32,000 kilometers. So that's like 45 times around the earth. O king, when the demigods and this is a small purport for this verse. I guess we can read it. Sura Surendra Bhuja Virya Vepitam. Pari Brahmatam Girim Anga Prishtata. Birat Tat Avartanam Adikachapo. Meninga Kanduyanam Apareyaha. Sura Asura Indrai. By the leaders of the demons and the demigods. Puja Viryaha. By the strength of their arms. Vepitam, moving. Paribrahmantam, rotating. Giram, the mountain. Anga, Amarish Prikshat. Prishtataha, on his back. Bibrat, bore. Tat, of that. Avartanam, the rotating. Adikachapa, as the supreme original tortoise. Mene, considered. Anga kanduyanam, as pleasing scratching of the body. Aprameha, unlimited. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O King, when the demigods and demons, by the strength of their arms, rotated Mandara Mountain on the back of the extraordinary tortoise, the tortoise accepted the rolling of the mountains as a means of scratching his body, and thus he felt a pleasing sensation. Just imagine a mountain 1,200,000 kilometers high made out of gold scratching your back. If you could survive, it would definitely relieve whatever itch you had on your back. Purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always the unlimited. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his body is a tortoise, held on his back the largest of mountains, Mandara Parvata, he did not feel any inconvenience. On the contrary, he apparently felt some itching, and thus the rotation of the mountain was certainly very pleasing. Text 11. Thereafter, Lord Vishnu entered the demons as the quality of passion, the demigods as the quality of goodness, and Vasuki as the quality of ignorance. to encourage them and increase their various types of strength and energy. Purport, everyone in this material world is under the different modes of material nature. There are three different parties in the churning of the Mandira mountain. The demigods, who are in the mode of goodness, the demons, who are in the mode of passion, and the snake, Vasuki, who is in the mode of ignorance. Since they're all becoming tired, Vasuki, so much that he was almost going to die, Lord Vishnu, to encourage them to continue the work of churning the ocean, entered into them according to their respective modes of nature, goodness, passion, ignorance. Here we find that the modes of material nature are energized by Krishna, Sattvam Rajas Tamayiti, Guna Prakriti Sambhava Nibandanti Mahabaho Dehe Dehinam Avyam. That the material nature consists of three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, and when the living entity comes in contact with these modes, he becomes conditioned by them. So here we find the demigods being in the mode of goodness, Tatra Sattvaya Namalabhat, Kashikamanamayam, Sukha Sangena Bhananti, Jnana Sangena Chagnaha. The mode of goodness is purer than the other modes and frees one from sinful reactions. Those who are actually in this mode develop a kind of knowledge and a kind of happiness. So the demigods are in the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness is illuminating. Illuminating means they know what the purpose, what they're doing. Generally speaking, Nitevidu Swartikatimi Vishnu, people don't know that the goal of life is Vishnu, Darashaya Bhagya Artamanina, and therefore they take something arta, some developed material gain as the goal, some insignificant material gain, which will only last for an insignificant time. So the demons in the mode of passion, Krishna has to enliven them, he has to encourage them, otherwise the mode of passion is rather boring after some time. Punak punas charvita charvananam. Although at the beginning it seems very exciting, but at the end it's quite boring, not very enlivening. So the demigods, they were turning the ocean because Krishna wanted them to. So the aim was to please Vishnu in some way, although they may have some fruit of desire also to get nectar, but they trusted in Vishnu that if they kept on doing it, they'd get what they wanted. Now the demons, on the other hand, being in the mode of passion, they want immediate gratification of the senses. And therefore, they're willing to put in some effort, but when there is no result, they would become discouraged. Or when the demon gets the result and it's not according to his liking, then he gives the result up. He becomes disgusted with it after some time. Bhogatyaga, and throws it out. Just like in modern society, perhaps in this country also, children get so many presents on Christmas Day, or at least they used to. And then after a few days, they're so enlivened for a few days with their Christmas toys, and then after some time, they just put them in the corner because they're not interested in them anymore. And there's piles of toys from previous Christmases. And therefore, they need a separate room just to hold the toys in. And the only thing the children want to do with the toys after some time, because they, from the mode of passion, ignorance usually develops, is that they start breaking them out of fun. So the very toy that they were hankering for, praying to God to please give them, when they got it, they played with it for a few days, got bored with it, and then started to break it after some time. So if you want to find out what the mode of passion is, just go downtown, any city, even Ljubljana, probably there's some passion down there. And ignorance, the best thing to do is go to a zoo and see the snakes in the zoo and the lizards. The zoo is a perfect place for ignorance and passion also. Just go to the zoo and watch the monkeys. They don't stop. They're not doing anything productive, but they're just doing something. Goodness, I don't know where you find goodness. Hopefully, during a good kirtan in the temple, you may find some goodness there. Goodness means that we wash our hands before we take prasadam. Then we're being good. And if we're really purely good, we wash them afterwards too. Even though the sink is 2 meters away. More effort than we usually take, but still, simply out of duty. We tear ourselves away from our prasadam and go and wash our hands so we can feel good while we're eating. In any case, it's Krishna who enters into the living entity and encourages them in all these different modes. As Krishna says, kamaistaistara ridigana prapadyantena devata tam tam nimam ashtaya prakritiya niyataksvaya. Kamaistaistara ridigana, those who are bereft of intelligence, they worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods. Yo, yo, yam, yam, tunum, bhakta, shradi, architim, ichshami, tasya, tasyatram, chalam, tad, eva, vididamyaham. I am in everyone's heart as the super soul, and I make his face steady so he can devote himself to some particular demigod. In other words, the demigods by themselves will not be able to attract anyone. Matter of fact, unless Krishna in our heart empowers us, we can't be attracted to anything. Even to sit around in the mode of ignorance, you have to be empowered to do it. So Krishna in the heart of the living entity enlivens the living entity, encourages him to worship some demigod. And then in the heart of the demigod, he encourages the demigod to give the result. So actually, everyone has a relation with Krishna. Everything is a relation with Krishna, although it may appear that the relationship is with someone else. But ultimately, we can't... Everything we do, everything everyone does, is directly or indirectly a relationship with Krishna. Others are included in that relationship, but the center is always Krishna, whether we like it or not. Just like if we are in kirtan and we don't feel like dancing, we're probably not in pure goodness. Nantapuru is always dancing, so we can understand maybe he's in pure goodness. So, it means that we're covered. What we're doing is the mode of ignorance is encouraging us to be as dull as possible. That in spite of the holy name, our mode of ignorance protects us from becoming Krishna conscious. We put on our shield of the mode of ignorance, and therefore even some ecstatic vibration comes by, we're protected. And of course, when we become enlivened by the mode of passion, we don't know, we couldn't care if it was the holy name or it was some rock song. We're out there moving. Look at me. Or as Ridayanand Maharaj, when he was in Brazil one time, and the devotees were complaining about the ladies in the temple. So Ridayanand Maharaj said, yes, I could send them all to someplace else. But then who would the brahmacharis dance for? So we have to be conscious, at least in the mode of goodness, we're following what we're supposed to be doing. We're trying at least to become something other than ignorance and passion. We're following the rules and regulations without attachment, happily, and therefore it's much more likely we'll be able to take transcendental benefit of the devotional activities that we're doing, because we might even remember we're doing it for Krishna, which is really goodness. Other than that, material nature, Krishna, will enter into us whatever we desire. If we become attached to desire in the mode of ignorance, then Krishna will enter into us as the mode of ignorance. If we have a desire in the mode of passion, then Krishna will enter into us in the mode of passion. And if we have a desire in the mode of goodness, then Krishna will enter into us as the mode of goodness. We're not independent. These modes of material nature are not under our control. I know this is not a very enlivening class. Trivya gunamayir bhavar, evik sarvamidam jagat, mohitam navijanati, moho, trivya gunamayir bhava, ye chaiva satvika bhava, rajasas tamasas chaye, itak vedati tam vidi natvaham teshu te maye, trivya gunamayir bhavar, evik sarvamidam jagat, mohitam navijanati, mame vyak param avya, ye chaiva satvika bhava rajasas tamas. Material nature has three modes. Ye chaiva satvika bhava rajasas tamasas chaye matak evati tanmai na chaham teshu vamaye. That there's these three modes called goodness, passion, ignorance, and Krishna is in charge of all of them. He's not controlled by them, he's in charge of them. Deluded by the three modes of material nature, the living entity, Trivyara Gunamayar Bhavar, Abhik Sarvamidam Jagat. There's nothing in this material world but these three modes in this whole universe. But I'm not under them. I'm actually the control of them. Trivyara Gunamayar Bhavar, Abhik Sarvamidam Jagat, Mohitam Navijananti. I am never under the illusion, na vijananti, nor am I ever bereft of knowledge. Lokayam ajam avyam. I'm unborn and inexhaustible. So Krishna is the control of the modes. He's never affected by them. Just like a spider can build a web, the flies get caught on the web, but the spider never gets caught on his own web. So Krishna has created the material world and he's in charge of it. And through his energies, it's working. And therefore, when the living entity desires in a certain way, he creates the experience for him. Now, if he desires in terms of Krishna, in terms of pure devotional service, then a whole different energy enters in called Ladini Shakti, spiritual energy. And to get that spiritual energy is not extremely difficult. Sadatam kirtayantamam yatantas shadridavataha namaschantas imam drakta nityukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Mahatmana sumam parata daivim prakritim ashritya bhajanya nanyamanaso gyatva bhutadim avyam. Are those who are great souls, mahatmas, to mamparata, daivim prakriti mashri. They take shelter of the internal energy of Krishna. And so that's what Krishna gives them, is the internal energy. Experience in the internal energy. Mahatmanasumamparata, daivim prakriti mashri. Bhajanan nyana manasa. And they're always engaged in worshiping me, because they like the spiritual energy. And if they worship Krishna, then they're under the internal energy, and that's what they like. And if they don't worship Krishna, then they have to find something to like. And the only thing left without Krishna is the material world which we're in. And some people will like the mode of goodness, and Krishna will give them the experience of the mode of goodness. And others get tired of goodness after some time. They believe in the advertisement, in the mode of passion, that you can enjoy. Why just be so good all the time? Put a little spice into it. Get a little oomph into your goodness. And then they try to enjoy. Enjoy, 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 and then they become angry and frustrated and they fall into the mode of ignorance. So generally speaking, those in the mode of goodness in the material world, they're enlivened by knowledge and become puffed up. and proud. And because they become puffed up and proud and envious of others who are not in goodness, because of that they feel dissatisfied. And therefore they need a little extra sugar. And therefore they start taking a little extra sweets, and then everyone looks beautiful, and then they want to enjoy. And they're enjoying the mode of passion, and then suddenly they become frustrated because they can't enjoy anymore, and they become angry, and they fall into the mode of ignorance. They lose all their energy, and they simply crawl, looking, open their mouth, hoping some fly will fly into it, because they don't want to do anything. So that's, and after some time, being in the mode of ignorance, one becomes purified because one can't do so many sinful activities in the mode of ignorance. Gradually one's karma wears out and one comes in the mode of passion again. And if he gets good association, then he tries to control his passion, regulate his sense gratification, and to some degree come to the mode of goodness and experience illumination, happiness again. And maybe he comes in contact with devotees and takes up devotional service and goes back to Godhead. Otherwise, goodness can't last forever. Again, the whole cycle goes on from goodness to passion to ignorance, from ignorance to passion to goodness, and going up and down the material world like a Ferris wheel, thinking we're making progress. One time we're Brahma, and next time we're a mouse. Punak Mushikabhava. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes. Do we have a microphone?
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada seems to have a set phrase, working hard like dogs and hogs. But oftentimes they don't seem to be working very hard, dogs or hogs.
Well, they think they're working hard. Well, you go in this neighborhood sometimes, you go past the house, rah, rah, rah. Imagine all day long people are passing. If you live in the wrong place, the dog happens to wind up in the wrong place, in a busy place, all day long, rah, rah, rah. I mean, you get tiring after a time. It's a lot of work, barking at people all day long. And at the end of the day, you think, oh, I'm exhausted. Give me something to eat. That's hard work. As far as hogs, if you know, they work hard. If you go to Vrindavan, you see the hogs are working all day long looking for stool. They're cleaning up Vrindavan 24 hours a day. They never stop. As far as, you know, getting paid, you know, they don't get paid so much, so therefore, when they can, they take a break. But I think Prabhupada is really referring to the fact that working hard in the material world for material sense gratification without any other conception, any other purpose, so they may not be working hard in our estimation, you know, having two jobs. But they're working according to their senses, according to the inspiration of their senses. They're forced to work in order to just enjoy a little insignificant sense gratification. So that's hard. Hard love, they call it. Anything else?
You mentioned that Krishna, without Krishna's blessing, one cannot have even attraction, any attraction even to worship demigods or any other worship. So the question arises, and sometimes I'm asked also the same, why doesn't Krishna just make my attraction to worshiping him?
Because you don't want that. Because you want to worship other things. That's why we came here. Actually, we don't want to worship anything. We want to be worshipped. So sometimes we appear to worship others to get something from them. either knowledge of how we can become at least as good as they are, so eventually we can become better than they are. So we worship them to get something from them. So as long as we are in the material world trying to get something from others, then we have to remain here trying to get something from others. Sometimes goodness appears to be attractive to us. We can become good. Or sometimes passion. We can enjoy, so-called. Or ignorance. We can go to sleep, not worry about all these things. Is that right? Anything else?
So Avadhutarai Prabhu is back.
Jai, welcome. I was getting worried.
Hare Krishna. Yesterday you mentioned about cleanliness. Regarding cleanliness in Srimad Bhagavatam 4.2.14.15 purport, according to other Puranas, smearing ashes on the body is an activity of exalted Vaishnavas. So the question is, for what reason?
Well, in Vrindavan at least, or in India, sometimes it gets really cold. Now you put ashes in your body, protects you from the cold to some degree. As far as exalted Vaishnavas, well, that's Lord Shiva's domain, that he sometimes smears the ashes of exalted Vaishnavas on his body. Because it's spiritual. Everything about an exalted Vaishnava has been spiritualized by contact with Krishna consciousness. Therefore, one makes spiritual advancement by such a thing, by contact with spiritual energy.
So somebody said on the lecture that pride and humility cannot coexist. But if so, for example, how a Kshatriya could fight if not proud, somehow, somewhat or a lot, and how a Vaishya could cheat while doing business?
I don't know what it has to do with Vaishya. Kshatriyas fought as a matter of duty. That was their occupation. That's what they trained for. So how humble they were with their fighting, I don't think humility was exactly in the forefront of their consciousness while they were fighting. They were fighting as a matter of duty. As being proud, I think if they got too proud on the battlefield, someone would probably hit them with a rock on the back of their head and their pride. I think they just concentrated on their duty rather than how great they were. As far as Vaishyas, I don't know. You know, Vaishyas aren't exactly in the same dangerous situation most of the time that the Kshatriyas are. So even if they became proud, you know, probably their wife would try to humble them a little bit.
So there's one more question from Valabi Knapin. Hare Krishna Maharaj, sometimes it is said that we should always be a yogi. What does it mean? Because the word yogi is also used as a mystic.
Well, always be a yogi, that's what Krishna says. He says that the yogi is greater than the ascetic, greater than the fruitive worker, greater than the empiricist. Therefore, Arjuna, in all circumstances, always be a yogi. So, a yogi is one who concentrates his mind upon Krishna, who has that objective. Then he says, what kind of yogi we should be? That yoginam api sarvesham, madgitena antaratmana, Sharavam bhajate yomam, samay yaktatamo mataha. That of all the yogis, one who always concentrates on me with great faith, worshiping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of them all. So the highest is the bhakti yogi, not the karma yogi, not the jnana yogi, not the astanga yogi or the hatha yogi. It's the bhakti yogi. So we should always be a bhakti yogi. Manmana bhava manbhakto. Madhyaji mam namaskuru, mamai vaishasi satyam te pratijani priyosame. Always think of me, worship me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me, that you'll live with me always without any doubt, and you'll come to me without fail. I promise you this because you're my very dear friend. So that's the kind of yogi probably Krishna wants us to be. You have a question?
Hare Krishna, thank you for your lecture. I would like to ask if being enthusiastic, it's in mode of passion.
Not necessarily. It's enthusiasm. If we're in the internal energy of Krishna, enthusiasm. The definition of enthusiasm given in the Nectar of Instructions is activities performed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness. Is called endeavors performed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called enthusiasm. So if those three elements are there, endeavor is there, the right activity, such as kirtan or something like taking bhushadam, performed with intelligence, knowing how to do it, according to our acharyas, in Krishna consciousness, doing it to please Krishna, that produces enthusiasm. We leave out one of those ingredients, the enthusiasm, it'll be probably, there may be some Krishna consciousness in there, hopefully, but it'll be also the modes of nature will be mixed into it also. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you for the class, Maharaj. I understand that we are right now mixed up with all the different modes, some predominating at some time and another predominating at another. But still, we are in the process of bhakti yoga. We are trying to purify ourselves. So how can we know that we are getting purified and at least moving towards the mode of goodness?
Well, we become detached from things that normally would have attracted us for sense gratification or out of anger. Well, anger is another kind of sense gratification. And at the same time, we are able to understand things more clearly, who we are, who everyone else is, who Krishna is, what our duty towards Krishna is, and we're more inspired to perform those activities for Krishna, for devotional service. At the same time, we're having more experience of feeling some attraction for Krishna, and some even love for Krishna and his devotees. So that means we're making some progress.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. You were speaking about mode switching. Now, usually it's said that we choose the mode by which we want to be influenced. I mean,
is that right? Where does it say that?
I know Adi Purusha said it.
We choose the mode. Well, maybe let him explain. Did you say that, Adi Purusha? We choose the mode.
I mean, he said it in a context of a free will. What free will we have? We have free will to choose something about the mode. So he wasn't so clear on that, but that's the limitation of in that discussion he was saying it, but I don't know the details. So
generally, we can choose to accept the modes of internal nature which are being offered to us.
Oh yes, that's
in other words, desires will flow through our mind, and we have a choice. If we don't accept one, something other desire will come. So if we don't accept that one, then another one will come, usually. And then we can choose. If we decided that today, I'm going to wash my hands before I take prasadam, no matter how far away the sink is. So then we sit down and take prasadam, and oh, it's so far away, the first thought. So we don't have to accept that. And they know I decided to wash my hands. The other one said, well, your hands look clean. No, I'm not going to accept that. And then the father says, get up and just wash your hands. Why are you wasting time? Okay. So then we accept that one.
So that was my question, that it seems to me that most choose us. So, but we have to choose them back.
Well, we have no knowledge, then we'll just follow the modes. If we have in ignorance, people don't have a choice. In passion, they don't have a choice. Even in goodness, they don't have a choice. Only when we have knowledge, then we'll follow it. Then we have a choice to figure out. We determine what actually Krishna wants us to do, what we should be doing, and then we try to get the determination to do it. That's called making a choice. The real choice is either we accept Krishna consciousness or not. That's our only real choice. Either we do what Krishna wants us to do, or we don't. That's all. Now, accepting the duties that Krishna has given for the different modes of material nature is also kind of accepting Krishna, even if we're not so conscious of it. That will be elevated if we just accept some real duty coming from the scripture. Or even Hiranyakashipu, he stopped doing everything else and just concentrated on one thing, on austerity. And he became empowered, although that was his choice. He had to give up so many other things, and therefore became powerful. Or which means that Krishna put him in a situation where he apparently became powerful, but actually Krishna simply empowered him through his different energies, because he was able to reject everything else and just fix his mind on one point to become powerful, to perform tapasya. But real choice is either we accept Krishna, but even after all his endeavor for tapasya, he was still in the material world. And therefore it's not really considered the proper use of free will. He just chose something intensely and with some goodness and a lot of passion in it. But real choice is not whether we want wet stool or dry stool, some choice in the modes of nature, because it's all the modes of nature. The real choice is whether we want transcendental or the modes of nature. So when we choose transcendental, that's actually making a real choice.
If I may just connect it still a bit, why is sliding from the mode of goodness down so easy? I mean, why would a good person become proud and then become a little passionate, but then he has knowledge, he has experience of happiness. Why would he, with this intelligence, why he doesn't see sooner that then he's sliding and go immediately back?
Because pride feels good. When it comes to goodness, a lot of times because one wants to feel some pride. False ego. Our main attachment is a false ego. We want to feel better than others. That's why we're here. You can't get much happiness from the material world except from feeling better than others. That's why we came here. So you work your way into goodness so you control others better. And then you get proud that, look at me. Like you go on book distribution, it's so difficult, no one wants to stop. Somehow or another, you distribute a book, you get a little enlivened, you pray to Krishna, you become a little humble, he empowers you. People start stopping, and immediately think, well, just see how wonderful I am, how empowered I am, how the devotees will admire me when I come back and tell them how many books I distributed. For Krishna, of course. So subtle pride is my yoga is chalati manasa. As soon as one tries to make its advancement, Maya will try and delude the practitioner by so many allurements. And pride is a pretty handy trick on Maya's side. Practically works every time. All right. Khwala Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.